Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To the Gaza war, the IDF making a bold announcement. IDF says it has dismantled half of Hamas's forces in Rafah, killed at least 550 gunmen. This looks like good news. However, I welcome Bill Rajo, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and David Dauda, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, both senior fellows, to comment not on Gaza, not on Hamas, but to the north of Israel, to the increasingly unsolved threat of Hezbollah and its master, Iran, and its adjunct, Syria. Gentlemen, a very good day to you. I go immediately to the headlines, not pointing to Gaza, where all eyes are fixed for a resolution in some fashion between Israel and Hamas, a resolution that Israel can say, finally, we've solved Hamas. However, this headline, top Biden aide in Israel to try to head off war with Hezbollah, Special Envoy Amos Hochstein to meet with Netanyahu, Defense Minister Golan. In these hours, it's happening. And opposition leaders before flying to Lebanon amid spiraling conflict. In addition, this headline, IDF warns Hezbollah is bringing Israel to the brink of a, quote, wider escalation. David, a very good day to you. I want to understand the scale of the threat, compare and contrast with the Hamas fighting of these last 8 months and what we know to be accurate about Hezbollah's forces. So far, Hezbollah has been burning the forest along the frontier, has forced up to 100,000 Israelis to evacuate, has rained down both loitering weapons, that's new talk for drones, and missiles and anti-tank missiles, and I believe they used a rocket last week they hadn't shown before. All of this coming from Iran. What is your measure of the lethality of the Hezbollah forces? Does this match what the IDF has, or does the IDF overwhelm it the way it did Hamas? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening to you as well. Look, the IDF is exponentially more powerful than Hezbollah. That does not mean that Hezbollah cannot cause it major pain and major damage. Does not mean that Hezbollah cannot inflict major harm upon Israel. If we compare Hezbollah to Hamas, we're talking about entities that, yes, fight in similar manners. They're both hybrid guerrilla organizations in terms of their warfighting method. But Hezbollah has decades of experience on Hamas. It's at least a decade older than Hamas as a militant group. It has much larger arsenal, much more lethal arsenal. It has a decade of experience of war fighting in Syria. It has been involved in fighting and training in Iraq, in Yemen. So we're talking about an organization that, yes, may resemble Hamas in terms of tactics, but, you know, turn up the notch at least 10 times. Beyond that, what Hezbollah has done is because they can't match the Israelis directly. The Israelis have a much larger budget in terms of weapons procurement, development. They have alliances with Western powers, the development of things like the Iron Dome, other defensive and offensive measures, electronic warfare capabilities. These are things that Hezbollah can't match, again, because they lack the budget, they lack the know-how, they lack the research and development centers, they lack the alliances that would help them to develop that. So what they've done is gone low-tech, where Israel will invest, for example, billions in building up a multi-tiered missile defense system like Iron Dome. But it's costly. Each interceptor is going to cost about $50,000. So what Hezbollah opts to do is not create the sophisticated rockets, for example, that could penetrate Iron Dome. They decide to overwhelm it with rockets that cost $150 a piece and that are propelled largely, if I may be frank, by manure. But in terms of cost effectiveness, right? If Hezbollah is going to fire minimum, the Israeli estimates, 1,500 rockets a day at Israel, And if each interceptor to match those rockets costs $50,000 rather, and that's the minimum estimate we have, it's just not feasible for the Israelis. So then you're, this missile defense system that you invest billions in has been bypassed with primitive weapons. And that's kind of Hezbollah's method. They're not matching the Israelis toe for toe, but they're figuring out ways, low-tech ways, to bypass Israel's sophisticated, Israel's qualitative military edge.
Bill, I welcome your comments as well as a question for David.
Yes, David, just a question for you here. Given the rise of Iran's proxy militias that are increasingly strangling Israel and the results of ignoring Hamas, which led to the October 7th massacre, should the U.S. even be attempting to stop the Israelis from striking Hezbollah? Wouldn't delaying this put the Israelis at greater risk in the future?
It depends, right? Look, I think the United States posture should always be by default to seek peaceful resolutions to conflicts over war. I think no one more than the Israelis and the Lebanese have an interest in avoiding this war, be it now or in the future. It's going to be destructive enough now. The problem is the ceasefire proposals don't have a credible enforcement mechanism. They don't have either a sufficient carrot or a sufficient stick, right? They're relying on the Lebanese government. The proposals envision the eventual implementation of Resolution 1701. Now, this, at the bare minimum, entails the deployment of Lebanese armed forces to the south, the simultaneous to South Lebanon, the simultaneous withdrawal of Hezbollah from the area, and the eventual disarmament of Hezbollah. Now, this, if it were implemented, would solve the problem. The problem is, again, it relies on the Lebanese armed forces. Now, Lebanon can't disarm Hezbollah peacefully. Hezbollah is an integral part of Lebanon's political and social fabric. As I highlight every time someone asks me this question, they won 356,000 votes in Lebanon's May 2022 parliamentary election. That's 150,000 votes, individual votes, than the second largest party, which was the Lebanese forces. In a recent poll from January, they had up to 93% of Lebanese Shiite support. So we're not talking about a marginal actor or an actor whose power in Lebanon comes through fiat. It may enforce that through threat of its weapons. So you want to go act against Hezbollah if you're Lebanon. Like every other decision you have to do, you have to get all your sects around the table and their major representatives. Like we just said, Hezbollah is a major representative of the Lebanese Shiites, who are probably Lebanon's largest demographic. You have to ask their permission to disarm. That's not going to be forthcoming. Alternatively, you could send the Lebanese armed forces to disarm them. But because of their size, because of their power, because of their arsenal, you're risking civil war. Also a non-starter. So in every situation, Lebanon has more to lose by enforcing 1701 and these ceasefire proposals against Hezbollah than it does by ignoring it. These ceasefire proposals are not ignoring that or not addressing that fundamental flaw. On the carrot side, they're offering to resolve the outstanding 13 disputed points along the blue line, the de facto boundary between Lebanon and Israel, and offer Lebanon economic incentives. Now, again, this would be great if this were a conflict between Lebanon and Israel, but the conflict is between Hezbollah and Israel, and Hezbollah is ideologically motivated to destroy Israel, not to simply regain territory that Lebanon alleges belongs to it, but using that, taking anything it can through peaceful means, that's great. They're not going to object to that. We see that also with the Iranians. But then to continue beyond that, as they've said, they're winning in increments until they can reach the stage of the final blow against the Jewish state. Now, the problem, again, is that these proposals leave this dynamic in place. And as you mentioned, Bill, yes, rather than resolve the conflict now, as painful as it may be through force, all it's doing is kicking the bucket down the road to the point where Hezbollah continues to build up its arms, its domestic situation is more stabilized, and not just Hezbollah, but its regional partners in the resistance axis also undergo a similar process and position themselves to deal Israel the final blow that they've been promising.
We're speaking with David Daoud, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, and Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're talking about the Hezbollah threat. When we come back, applying the proverb, tactics are for amateurs and logistics are for professionals. What is Hezbollah's ability to resupply itself in the event of a conflict with a major IDF Force. I'm John Batten.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.